afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Welcome to my show, Church of the Soul's Evolution. We're just talking with Doug about souls. And I was telling him that about an hour ago, I was watching this video on YouTube regarding Edgar Cayce. He was America's Sleeping Prophet. That was his nickname. And he's got some really incredible things that he learned from his... He used to go into trances. And one thing was that animals have souls. Our cats and our dogs, they pass away. When they do, their soul leaves their body, just like ours does. And it goes to heaven, if you will, or the spirit realm. And the incredible thing is that the animals that come into our lives could have been with us in previous lives and may be with us in future lives because they're part of our soul group, if you will. And also the souls of animals can be interchanged. In other words, a dog in this life might have been a lion in Roman times, you know, a couple thousand years ago. Or like Doug was saying, that may be a dog or even a human can experience life in any of the forms of life here on planet Earth, whether it could be insects or fish in the seas or amphibians or reptiles or birds or mammals. In fact, did you know that all life here on Earth is evolving? And that same life at another period in the universe's time could reincarnate on another planet in a more advanced and evolved form. In other words, I saw some videos recently about insectoid extraterrestrials that look like praying mantises, and people have had encounters with them. And they're standing up on their legs, but they're about 6 feet tall, you know, and they have their arms and legs, but they kind of resemble like what praying mantises have right now in this life here on planet Earth. The bottom line is they are evolving also, all species on Earth, whether insects and all the different types of insects, could possibly at one time far in the future, including our dogs and our cats, stand up on two legs and have a head of a lion or a dog or a wolf, you know, and be an evolved species that could take its first steps into outer space, like we have recently, and explore the universe in their own spaceship, because all life here is evolving. And evolution dictates that over the millions of years, and even billions of years that the universe has existed, and all the planets out there, and you know they're discovering new planets every day, those people that don't believe that there are other planets out there besides the ones in our solar system, that's the same frame of mind that people had when they thought the world was flat or the world was at the center of the universe until we found out that we revolve around the center. Hold on, I'm going to have to let one of our dogs out. Give me a few seconds, please. Our dogs might start barking here, so we'll just have to wait till he finishes and then goes back inside. But the other dog, I thought she wanted to come out, but she really come out. She wanted to drink some water first. So all the life here on Earth is evolving, and our planet is evolving too. As I've said on other shows, this planet is otherwise known as Mother Gaia, and it is a cosmic being in its own right. It's alive. This planet is alive. Yes, it has vegetation, plant matter on it, and animal life, and all the life in the seas and lakes and rivers and oceans, and all the life, over 1 million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of reptiles, 10,000 types of birds, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals. If all that life here on Earth happened by accident, then logically it could happen by accident anywhere. So back to what I was saying, if you don't believe that they're discovering new planets every day, that just means that you don't know that we have a space telescope out there, two of them, the Kepler and the James Webb Space Telescope, and they're very advanced and cost a lot of money. And they're out there in outer space, and they're looking into outer space, just like the Hubble Space Telescope has done before in the past. And they're discovering new planets every day. So we're learning, and I've said this before, every star, which is really a sun in the evening sky, has nine planets. Number nine is a number of the universe. Number nine is the number of the universe, and nine planets usually revolve around the sun. Occasionally, a planet will fall out, or another one may be added into the solar system, but ultimately, every solar system reverts back to the number nine, the number nine of planets, nine planets. So, suffice it to say, there is an incredible number of planets in our universe, an incomprehensibly large number of planets. And I say that because it's just too difficult for our finite human minds to grasp the number. I mean, you could talk about trillions and trillions, but it's more than that. And why? Because the universe has been in existence for billions of years. It's about 15 billion light years to the center of the universe. And that's where the Big Bang began. Okay, here comes Goldie, our other dog.
Hi, hi, hi. Hi, hi, hi. Hi.
Well, he likes to bark. Well, they're going to stay out here probably.
Hi, hi, hi.
No, 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 no. You can't bark out here. You're ruining my show. You and your barking. I'm going to have to lock him up inside. Hold on. There he goes. Okay, I got him locked up, and now the other dogs are inside the patio here, and they'll need to go in eventually. They're older dogs. Shakira, she's a smooth fox terrier, and then there's Goldie, she's an American pit bull terrier. They're both female, and they're rescued, so we don't know how old exactly they are, but they're about 14 years old, I think, so we multiply that by seven, right? Seven dog years for every 1 year of human years. And so she's about close to 100 years old. And they're reaching the end of their lifespan. They've been great companions. Very loving, you know, showing unconditional love. I'm going to take a drink. But isn't that, I found that out today. I asked Doug. He said he already knew about it, but wouldn't that be incredible? Isn't that mind-blowing to think that you're pet dog, my pet dog, might have been a lioness in Roman times, how their souls can interchange. I thought that all species stayed together, like dogs. Yes, they do evolve and reincarnate, but they stay as dogs. I didn't know that. And the Buddhists believed that you could be a butterfly. You can experience what it's like to be a butterfly or dragonfly. I'm looking at one right now, which is on top of it looks like a little tree over there. I got to tell you about this one time when I lived in San Diego. I lived there 9 years. And I live with my parents for the most time, for the most part. And my parents, they were good people, but that's another subject. But one time, I used to get in my car and go fishing to a lake down the road, maybe about 50, 60 miles away. I forget the name of the lake, but it was up beyond Lake Cuyamaca, which is about 50 miles from San Diego up in the Cuyamaca Mountains. This lake was beyond that, maybe 20 miles or so, and it was like out in the desert. And hold on, I might have to let Goldie in. Yeah, I'll be right back. Give me a few seconds. Okay, I just let Goldie back in. Lenny's in there. Lenny's the barker, so I've got him inside. But Shakira's out here in the patio with me, but he seems content just to sit on the floor. There's a fan. I got a fan on, so she's doing all right for the time being. So this one lake I went to, I forget the name of it, but I was fishing for yellow cats, otherwise known as mud catfish. And pitched my tent alongside the lake's edge to take a drink. And I was using worms for bait. I cast my bait out maybe 20 or 30 yards into the water. And I must have caught like about four or five. One time I went to grab one, take the hook out, grabbed it by its mouth, and it closed its mouth on my finger, and that kind of hurt, because they have kind of, not sharp, but stubby kind of teeth, but it hurt. Anyway, I cooked them up, and I was by myself back then. It was lonely times. I was lonely and didn't have a girlfriend. But I kept myself pretty good company, and I would drive in my car. I had an old Baja Bug, Volkswagen Baja Bug, pretty nice. With a roll bar on the inside and the engine on the outside open, you know, and Jackman rims and big tires on the back, sunroof. And it was kind of fun to drive around. And I would play I had an 8-track inside back then. That was in the 80s, late 70s. And I'd play all my favorite music while driving around. Thanks to God for the good times I had and the safe times. I was a little bit wild back then. You know, I grew up in a secondhand smoke environment. My parents were alcoholics, so I had to kind of shake that myself. So I eventually gave up drinking when I was in the Army. In 1988, gave up everything, smoking and drinking. And then in 1999, I became a vegan. And I think that was mainly because, well, for two reasons. First of all, I hadn't always lived a healthy lifestyle. Second, I donated one of my kidneys to my son in 1995. I don't know if you've heard me say that before. And he's doing pretty good now. The kidney I gave him lasted 19 years. And then he got a second kidney from his best friend's mom in Ohio in 2014. So that one has lasted him over 10 years. And God, my prayer is, God, please, Creator, please bless Bryce and help him to keep that kidney as long as possible. Give him wisdom and strength to take good care of himself. And if you should need another one, help another one to be available to him, please, Creator. I was thinking, you know, if I ever won the lottery, and if I had millions of dollars, I think I'd be a good steward of that money. I would give a lot to people. I'm always a generous person, you know, even now. with the money I make, I give a lot of it away. I give a lot to my wife. I give it to homeless people on the streets. You know, I'm going to take a drink. I don't mind sharing my money. I give it to all kinds of different people, you know, to a limit. I like to have my little nest egg and keep that at a certain level. Otherwise, I do, in my opinion, give a lot of money away. If I had a lot more money, I would probably give more away. We give, every time we go to a restaurant, you know, like this Mexican restaurant down the road, my wife and I, just around the corner, about 5 minutes from here, the bill comes to like $30, and we always leave a $20 tip, because we figure waitresses, my wife was a waitress at one time, she knows what it's like, and they don't have any benefits, the waitresses at that restaurant. I know they're not part of the union. They don't have dental and health and life insurance, you know, so they can use that money. So that's the kind of people we are, always giving people nice tips and giving money away, helping people. And if I had millions of dollars, I would continue to give that away. I know it'd be difficult. I know you thought of it too. What it would be like to all of a sudden be a millionaire and have to manage that money. I know that one time my mother won a car when we lived in Nashville, New Brunswick, Canada. And it was a 1963 Ford Falcon convertible that she won in the Kellogg's Corn Flakes contest. They didn't keep the car, but instead sold it to this one guy who offered to buy it from them. Back then, it was worth about $2,300. And this guy offered to buy it from them, but I'm going to take a drink. He couldn't afford the whole amount, so he offered to buy it in three installments of about $800. So he made that first payment, and then he got put in jail for some reason. My parents never got the rest of the money. But when they got that money, and when people found out, the neighbors found out that my mother had won that car in the Kellogg's Corn Flakes contest, people were knocking on their door, "Hey, we sell you some cushions, or, you know, can you spare some money?" People all of a sudden come out of nowhere, and friends and relatives that you never knew you had all of a sudden are looking for handouts, and that's okay. I think I could handle that. But eventually I might move away and want to be kind of isolated, you know, and stop answering the phone. If the phone was ringing off the hook, that wouldn't be cool, you know. So I think I would have to make an agreement with some relatives and say something like, "Okay, I'm going to give you this money, and I want you to sign this agreement that you don't ask me for any further amount of money." You know, I'd have to manage it well. I'll probably would give a lot to charity and the homeless people that look after homeless people. Lately, I've been seeing images of people starving on some news channels, you know, over there in Northern Africa. In the Gaza Strip, people are dying of starvation. God, Creator, please bless them and help them to look after those people. Then there's the Tunnel for Towers, you know, looking after veterans. I would give a lot of money to charity, and there are some people here that run churches that I know, have known over the years. I would like to help them out, too. Of course, I would like to have some money, aside from myself, to see me through my retirement. A new house. I was telling you before in other shows, this house here, it's very adequate. I bought it back in 2010 for $142,000, a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom house. And then my wife joined me here. And then shortly after that, my stepdaughter and three grandchildren moved in with us. And things didn't work out at first. It's a long story, but to make it short, I had to be evicted. And they went to live with my wife's niece and her sister. And it didn't work out for either of those two places. So eventually they came back here. We were going to take them down to the Haven for Hope, which is like a place for the homeless here in downtown San Antonio. I'm going to take another drink. But once they came here, they were going to spend a night or two. And I said, well, good to see you back here. And it seemed like they'd changed. And so I offered to let them stay. And they have stayed ever since about 2014, so a little over 10 years. And we've improved their quality of life. And although my stepdaughter, she only works a part-time job 2 weeks, twice a year at the voting place here in San Antonio, different voting places. My granddaughter, she's now 24, and she's just begun a part-time job, her first job. She did help out with the voting place also, and my wife does that too. She's retired 28 years working for the Army. My grandson works for Amazon part-time. I think, he might work full-time as a forklift operator. And then my 16-year-old Malia will be starting her 11th grade as a junior coming up this fall. And they've never helped pay for anything. I've always paid for the mortgage and the utilities and all the expenses, even food. And she was getting, Eva, my stepdaughter, was getting food stamps for a while. And that stopped when Mr. Trump began his first term. But I understand, that some people that get these benefits aren't really looking for jobs. And they should be, So Medicaid is important to have, but then you also have to have boundaries, and only the people that can't work or, mothers that are in need of help and are single parents and that kind of thing. But going back to what I was saying, I've been paying for everything and no one's been paying me rent. So, and that's okay. Because as I mentioned, I am a generous person. And I've been blessed, and I bless other people. If I won a lot of money in the lottery, I've thought about it. I do play a lot because we were going to move out and get a new house, and we almost did back in February. I had this $350,000 home lined up, but about a week out, I got a text message from a good friend who used to be my supervisor at work. And he mentioned, because this was right about when Mr. Trump had been inaugurated, and being a 100% disabled veteran like me, he was saying that they might cut veterans' benefits. And this was disconcerting to me. And even though they haven't done it, I don't think they would have. I decided not to go ahead and buy the house because it wouldn't have made any sense to buy a new house just when I was getting ready to retire and paying out more money while I was making less money in retirement. So I'm glad I backed out of that deal. It was a nice house. My wife told me later she didn't like it too much. But I drove by there the other day, and it's been like 6 months, and they still haven't sold that house, even though they had thrown in some things like a washer and dryer, refrigerator, blinds on the windows. Still, no one's bought that house yet. It's strange, but maybe there was something wrong with it. Perhaps it was a combination of things besides my supervisor telling me that they might cut veterans' benefits. Maybe sleeping on it, having a bad feeling, So, what else would I do if I had millions of dollars, if I won the lottery? We would move to a new house, I might buy my stepdaughter and her children, my grandchildren, a new house of their own. Probably would buy them their own vehicles. I think I would tell them that they have to look after themselves and become self-sufficient, which has always been a concern of mine, that, you know, if I died or my wife died, that they would have to become self-sufficient in a hurry, you know, and then have to start paying their rent and utilities and cable. But thanks to God, they haven't had to do that. And it would be a cool thing to have all that extra money. I'm sure you have all thought of that. What would it be like to, say, win $10 million or even more? Of course, you'd have to hire an accountant and then figure out what your taxes would be like, pay for those taxes. I would take the lump sums that the, you know, getting a payment each month for 26 years. And I think I would get a new car, although my 2016 Camry has been a really good car. It's a four-cylinder, too. I don't like polluting the atmosphere. I think my next car could be a hybrid if I need to. I don't like the V8 engines anymore because they spew too much carbon monoxide into the atmosphere. Plus, gasoline prices or gas is more expensive with an 8-cylinder engine, you know. And I don't mind thinking about winning the lottery. They say that if you want to win the lottery, all you got to do is, to begin with, visualize winning it. And why not? I figure, I know there's a lot of people that don't have a lot of money and they are the poor of this world, homeless people. But I would help them, for one thing. But didn't the Creator say that He is willing to bless us even further? I'm very grateful, don't get me wrong. I'm very grateful for what I have. But there's always that promise of getting blessed further, having further blessings. And I believe in that. So even though I am blessed and I have very good blessings that I'm grateful for, I think we're always eligible, if you will, to be blessed further. Plus, as I mentioned, we need a new house. 6 people living in a house. And I really would like to continue looking after my stepdaughter and her children. Right now, the plan is in about 2 years when Malia graduates, she's a 16-year-old, I'm going to take a drink. Once she finishes high school, then we're going to sell this house. Right now, it's worth about $200,000, so depending on the market, in 2 years from now, if it improves, and tentatively the plan is to sell it through Open Door, then it could be over $200,000, and I owe like $97,000, so it's going to need some repairs. So Open Door could make those repairs, but it could cost anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000. I think right now, in my opinion. So with any luck and God's blessings, we should get about $70,000 in profit from all the years I've been paying it off, you know. And then, being 2 years older, my wife and I, in our senior years, and as you know, got a lot less years in front of us than we do behind us, if you know what I mean. And the plan is to get a house, to rent a house and here in San Antonio. I really wanted to go to the desert, either Nevada or New Mexico or Arizona, but they have, Arizona and New Mexico have state taxes, and I don't like that. I like the desert environment. And the reason is because, and you might have heard this before, people, a lot of people that have lung issues move to the desert because it's better for them. It's easier to breathe that dry heat rather than humid heat. Because humid heat in San Antonio can get pretty intense, you know. And I'm one of the millions of people in the world that have sleep apnea, which is not a pleasant experience to have to go through. But then again, it's pretty common when you get older, and I'm 70, almost 71 years old. But I've been dealing with it. I don't use a CPAP machine, and that's okay. I found out that I'm not really compatible with it. It dries up my sinuses. And I just don't have a good feeling about having a machine breathe for me. I know some people rely on it, and we're all entitled to our opinion, you know. And my opinion is that I don't like CPAP machines. I just don't feel good waking up afterwards. And some people need it, though. I've said this to my wife before, and I'll say it again. I think I would rather die than have to be hooked up to a machine breathing for me during the night. Maybe not. I might be flexible on that. But the bottom line is I do have sleep apnea. I've been dealing with it. And I think it's related to, and this has been corroborated by doctors, independent medical evaluations, that sleep apnea can be attributed to back issues. It can be attributed to GERD, you know, that gastrointestinal disease. It can be attributed to the kidney donation, me giving one of my kidneys to my son. And you might think, well, how is that? I have found that ever since I donated my kidney, that I've had to sleep on my back. And I don't know why exactly or what exactly the scientific reason for that is. It might be because, you know, one of the kidneys or organs, when you sleep on either side, the organs kind of tend to gravitate towards one side of the body or the other. But ever since then, I've been sleeping on my back. In 1997, I started sleeping on my back because I felt like I had to. Another reason is because I've got a scar in my right side, my abdominal area, a 9-inch scar from the kidney donation. And I think that has affected my abdominal area. And that's maybe why I've got GERD. Because just imagine if you had to live with a huge scar from one side to the other in your right abdominal area. And the nerves took years to grow back. It felt like a board right after the surgery. And the nerves, I mean, I could have pinched myself down there even now. Like, it's different than it used to be. I could pinch myself hard, and I couldn't feel anything in that area. So I've had to sleep on my back, and that's been okay. They say that that's the worst position to sleep as far as sleep apnea is concerned. But I've been doing all right. I've been surviving. Although I do snore, and my wife doesn't like my snoring, and she uses earplugs and headphones to block out my snoring. And the only solution I can think of is that if we get a new house, then she could have her own bedroom. But she doesn't really like that idea because then when you have a couple who are married and they're sleeping in different beds, although I've heard of it before, then that kind of changes the marriage, if you know what I mean. I'm going to take a drink. But my wife sleeps. She snores also when she sleeps. Very kind of gentle, rhythmic snoring. Not too intrusive, if you know what I mean. But occasionally I've had to pop earplugs in my ears to block out that or some other noise. I used to sleep with earplugs all the time. And these really good earplugs, I'd like to recommend them. They're called the world's finest earplugs. They block out 34 decibels of sound. They're moldable, like I've got beeswax in them. Very good. I've not worn them for years until I finally found out that I didn't want to, I was experiencing more sleep apnea attacks, you know, when you wake up and you're not breathing, with those in my ears than without. So I stopped using them, even though, as I mentioned, occasionally I will put them in just for maybe a couple of hours. And usually then when I take them out, my wife has stopped snoring. Or there might be some noise downstairs from television. You know, my stepdaughter sleeps in the living room, and that's okay. I know that we've got it better than some people do, but not as good as other people. And it's all about being of service to each other, you know. I'm going to take a drink. I always like to fantasize and think what it would be like to be a millionaire. And I know we have a lot of millionaires in the United States and billionaires too. But you can't take it with you when we pass away and transition to the afterlife. But in the meantime, it's nice to have enough. I know that when I eventually do retire on the 31st of December and my income will be less, I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I'm going to miss, you know, going out and offering to pay for lunch, everyone's lunch, you know, and handing out $20 tips here and there. I'm going to have to make some adjustments to make ends meet. And we've been feeding the dogs meat, like beef or chicken, and that's been like close to $1,000 a month for that, and also these chicken jerky that they have for dogs and biscuits. Up until recently, I was spending like $15 for a beef roast or $10 for boneless, skinless chicken thighs. So every day you multiply that, do the math, and the chicken chews a big bag that would like last two bags a week, $45 a bag, biscuits. It's close to $1,000 a month, I think. 10, 15. Yeah. Anyway, it's not that they don't deserve it. It's just that I need to make some adjustments in my spending in order to make my money last when I do get into retirement. And then, like I mentioned, I pay all the bills. My wife's offered to help pay some of the bills. She's been paying back some debt, so I've been shouldering the responsibility of paying all the bills for the household. And then when we do get to that point in time, about 2 years from now, and I sell the house, and then my stepdaughter is going to have to get out on her own. And my wife has assured me that 2 years between now and when my granddaughter, Malia, graduates from high school, they will be on the road to becoming self-sufficient, you know, and get a job. My granddaughter, India, who's 24, she just got a part-time job at the local grocery store at the barbecue place. And I take a drink. And Malik, he works at Amazon, I said that, but he doesn't give me any money. And I've been paying for his car's repairs and his registration and insurance. And I get to the car too. And it was 2017 Camry. I bought it brand new in 17. At the time I bought it, it was about worth $24,000. And I just signed the title over to him because he's a fine young man. I have no problem with that, you know. So that's another example of I don't mind gifting these things to people. So I know God's been looking after me and blessing me. Although it would be nice to be blessed further and have a better house. I mean, if you could see our house, if you came over to see our house, you'd be kind of shocked at our living conditions, you know, the squalor that we live in. Because my stepdaughter, she's from a different kind of background than me. Me, an Army guy, you know, I'm all about dress right, dress, and keeping things neat and clean. But with three dogs and two cats, it's been almost impossible to do everything I want to do. So I've had to live with that squalor, and that's the best way I can describe it. And dust, I don't have a problem with a little bit of dust here and there, but I'm out here in my patio, enclosed patio. I paid $14,000 for it in 2014. And I keep the floor swept, and I mop the floor every now and then. And we tried to keep the kitchen kind of clean, too, you know, the dishes. The children don't help out with the chores at all, hardly at all. And that was one point of contention why I had them evicted in the first place, plus getting into some yelling matches and shouting matches. But then since they moved back in, we haven't had that problem, although there have been some times when my stepdaughter and I have gotten into it, you know, and I've talked about that on previous shows. But I'm trying to keep my wife happy. So, you know, my stepdaughter is her daughter, and I'm trying to understand that further. You know, it's different than from a perspective of a stepfather. I didn't live all my life with her. You know, she's not my real biological daughter. So I'm trying to understand things from my wife's perspective, you know. And she loves her grandchildren so much, so I'm trying to keep her happy. You know, happy wife, happy life, they say. Well, my old supervisor told me, no, that's not right. It's happy house, happy spouse. But it's better to have my wife happy than see her depressed. So I'm trying to accommodate her, and we talk about it. So she's got this plan. I'm going to take a drink. And that's to wait until Malia graduates from high school, sell the house, find a place to rent here in San Antonio. I don't think I want to buy again because buying a house is like, or having a house that you pay for is a money pit. Occasionally there'll be repairs. It's one thing or another. You always have to worry about the air conditioning breaking down or having to replace the tiles on the roof or the electrical or plumbing, you know, going wrong. When you rent, yes, it's more expensive, but then you have that peace of mind of not having to pay for repairs. Even though I have American Home Shield and they've been really good with everything in the past, you know, things that have gone wrong. And then we have to consider maybe moving into like a 55-plus community because my wife is a year older than I am. I'll be 71 on the 9th of August. So there is a place called the Affinity at Monterey Village. We rented a room there back in 2017, one-bedroom apartment for like $1,750 a month. And all the utilities are included. And they have a swimming pool, they have a jacuzzi, they've got a movie theater, they've got a gym, they've got a fire pit outside, they allow pets, and they have activities, they've got music, they've got events. And the good thing of the time that we were there was, the good thing that came out of it was, I did karaoke for the people there. While we had the room and the surprising thing is, for the year that we were there, you know how many times we slept the night over, slept at the in the room for a whole year? One night. I think we went over there just a couple of times during the day because we realized that we had our dogs in the house and we really enjoyed having their company at nighttime, and we couldn't take them over there. It wasn't the same thing. I tried to get out of the contract, but they wouldn't let me, so I'd even spend like $5,000 on furniture. I'm going to take a drink. And we might go back there. I just recently checked and found out that a two-bedroom apartment is like $2,600 a month with all the utilities, everything covered. We'd have to get some furniture, but that would be okay. So we'll see what happens in 2 years. God willing, we'll still be alive. Otherwise, it'll be going to the afterlife. This life, my friends, is incredible. This beautiful world that we live in. The sunshine, the days, fresh air, the beautiful life, the trees, the flowers, the mountains, the valleys. But all this will be there in heaven, too, on that world of light over there, which we'll be going to, and from what I understand, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to be together like one people, one humanity. Everyone that's lived here on Earth throughout the centuries, unless they've reincarnated somewhere on another planet. But don't forget that the time there in heaven is different. So they say like one day in heaven is like 1,000 years here on Earth. So I think there's going to be like one big party coming up. Well, maybe there's a party all the time. There's a celebration, a feast, always going on in heaven. There's activities, you know, angels everywhere, people just joyful and happy and laughing, and they look just like us. You know, the bodies are just like our physical bodies. They resemble them almost identically, although they're translucent, which means light can shine through them. Kind of like all the colors of the rainbow. People wear, spirits wear robes, you know, and depending on the brightness of your robe, depends on the level of evolution you've achieved in your past life and all your other past lives. You know, your life here on Earth and other past lives. Your level of spiritual development is shown by the light that you exude, if you will. You take a drink. And when you see these spirits, very highly evolved spirits, like Jesus or the patriarchs of the Bible, or the disciples or other human beings that lived here on Earth, brilliant minds. I'm going to take another drink. My throat's getting so a little dry. Excuse me. You will notice, I think, from what I've learned, is that we shine with a light. And people are going to be shining with different levels of intensity, depending on their level of evolution. That's why it behooves us to continue developing ourselves spiritually in earnest, because we don't know if tomorrow's going to be here for us, right? And don't you want to stand out? Don't you want to... The best way I can put it is like graduating with honors from this existence. This school of learning and the university of the universe, don't you want to graduate with honors? Well, spirituality is what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's not about raising your family, although that's very important. It's not about having tons of money because you can't take it with you. It's not about, and although, you know, what I said we need money to exist, but having maybe too much money can be detrimental. You know, it can get us off course in our spiritual development. It's not about having all the good things in life, and freedom and pleasure, etc. It's about spiritual development. And knowing that we are spirits in the material world. We are. Our spirit pops out of our body when we pass away. It can exit through the head or the chest. And it looks just like our physical body, although it is alterable. I think that's the best way I can put it. You can change your image when you get to heaven, let's say heaven or the spirit world. Everyone usually reverts back to an age 30 mold. In other words, if you die when you're old and you hurt and you have dentures, you don't have your own teeth, your teeth will be just like they were when you were young with no problems. You needed eyeglasses, all of a sudden vision's going to be perfect. You're going to look young. Everyone, all your deceased relatives and friends that have passed away, when you see them again, they're going to look young, and you will too, because you'll choose to go back to that age 30 mold because that's the cool thing, I guess. That's the best way I can describe it. You're not going to look younger. You don't want to look old. And the order of business every day because they're on a different time schedule there, but let's say all the time, for lack of a better way of putting it, you're going to be worshiping the creator of the universe for the miracle of all creation. All creation wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the creator, who's so worthy of praise and worship and our love. And the creator is out there, knows everything, omniscient, right? Omnipotent. What omnipotent means is that the creator is capable of creating anything, anywhere. That's the definition of the word omnipotent and omniscient. The creator has the power and the knowledge to create anything. That's why the creator has created this universe. And it's not hard to understand that there are a lot of other planets out there with life on them, teeming with life. The universe is teeming with life. That is the norm. It's not the exception. We just don't know it right now because we're at that point in our evolution where, let's say 500 years ago, people thought the world was flat. People living on this planet who walked and talked like we are doing right now, who go to bed when the sun set and woke up when the sun rose in the morning, they thought the world was flat. People just like you and me. And then Copernicus said, well, guess what? About 100 years or so later, the Earth is not the center of the solar system in the universe. It revolves around our sun. The next step is knowing that there's life out there. And I know the government knows that we are not alone in the universe, and I can't really blame them. We don't need them to open up the UFO files and prove to us that they made contact with extraterrestrials and we have some of their technology. We don't need that. We can understand that we're not alone through a process of logic. As I've mentioned before, all this life on Earth has happened by accident. Logically, it can happen by accident elsewhere. All these human beings on Earth, sentient beings, happen by accident. Logically, that can happen by accident anywhere, right? I got 1 minute left, my friends, but if there is a creator, all-powerful, all-knowing, logically that creator would have the power and knowledge to create this life and any life like we can't comprehend it anywhere. And I do mean anywhere in the universe. So here's my prayer. Creator, thank you for another day. Thank you for life. Please bless us, all your children here on Earth. Thank you for all our blessings. Continue to bless us and protect us. Thank you for your help. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week.